Hello and welcome back. I'm going to state the obvious in the room. The podcast name has changed and we've done some rebranding. I originally thought this would be a more comedic and educational podcast, and then I had no good jokes I wanted to do, and it would be an allusion to Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis. And then, as I mentioned in the other episode, how I want to go forward with this podcast, I felt that Botanic Connections shares more of the mission, in a quicker sense than Between Two Aeroids. I do want to cultivate a human botanic connection through education, storytelling, and community. So from now on, this will be Botanic Connections. And I hope you guys like the new branding. But let's just jump into this topic of this week. Today we're going to cover new plant species, how you identify a new plant species, what new species have been found this year, and what finding new plant species can do for humans and how we connect to the botanical realm in that way. So this will now be more segmented into the topic of the week and then a relating news article about the topic. And then the last segment's going to be the human connection, human botanic connection to that. Let's just jump into it, you know? Plant scientists discover about 1,800 new species a year worldwide, and how they go through the process of finding if a specimen is a new plant species is they look for any monograph or revision for the entire genus that contains that species. If you need a refresher on that, I believe the couple first episodes we go over taxonomy of plant identification, so that would be good as a refresher. And if there is one, you follow the identification key. If your plant does not match any of the species described in the key, it's likely that you do have a new species that you found. You can also search for specialists on the group where your species belong, and you can get maybe a little bit more fine-tooth comb than just doing your own research, as a lot of differences in plant species are they can be quite minute. If the revision has been published, let's say in the 1980s, it is possible that a new species has been described after the revision. So for that, you want to search also the names that have been published for that genus. And good sources for this is tropics.org or theplantlist.org. So if there is no revision for the genus and no specialist, then you have to complete all of the names that have been published for your genus and then compare your plant with each one of the descriptions. A good source for this is Biodiversity Heritage Library website. And if these descriptions are not enough, then you'll also need to search for all the types that were used for the descriptions of the new species. And good sources for images are plants.jstor.org. And then if they don't match any of these descriptions nor the types, then it is very likely that you found a new species. And you would, once it's verified it's new, you need to describe it as much as possible. And the collections that you comprise of your new species, write a description, and then submit it for publication. I think we just saw a couple years ago, I also did it in my podcast, the reclassification of Thematophyllum and Philodendron, and also Sansevieria into Dracaena. And again, you can go listen back to that because I go into more detail about how they went about reclassifying. But that's sort of the same line of how you identify a new species. And in botanical news about new species, there was a species called Uvarposis DiCaprio. I don't know if the last part sounded a little familiar, like a man who sunk on a ship and there was no more room for him on the door, so he froze to death. But it's named after Leonardo DiCaprio, if that hint didn't give it away. This tree is part of the Ling Ling family, which means flowers of flowers. Also known as the sugar apple family, these trees are often used in perfume production. If that's why Ling Ling sounds familiar to you, it is spelled with a silent Y in the front, and I am sure that it is pronounced differently or more correctly than what I am pronouncing it as in my American accent. This species was found in Cameroon, and Kew Gardens had decided to name it after Leonardo DiCaprio because of his work with Rewild, advocated to stop logging concessions in the Igbo Forest, which is located in Cameroon. And logging concessions are contracts, permits, and licenses the government give out to contractors that allow them to log in specific areas. And then the president of Cameroon, Paul Biya, canceled these concessions in August of 2020, and this gave hope to communities that their biodiversity of the forest will be saved, and also their own communities, because, again, a lot of them live off that land, and once animals are driven out by deforestation or gone to extinct, or even some of the medicines that they use from the natural landscape is detrimental to their communities. So because of the work Leonardo DiCaprio did with Rewild, president of Cameroon heard this and decided to stop giving out those logging concessions. Now these trees reach about 4 meters tall, and they have shiny yellow-green leaves growing in bunches along its trunk. There were only 50 trees found in the Ibu Forest. If the logging concessions continued, scientists believe we would have lost this tree. And also due to slash-and-burn agriculture that happens after deforestation, since they do want to make that land fertile. If it's no longer going to be tree forests, they turn them into crop production. And this tree is really cool. If you go look it up, it has these beautiful flowers that kind of come out from the middle of the trunk, which is pretty interesting. But I think that's awesome, because what we're going to talk about next with the human botanic connection is we are losing a lot of plant species very quickly to deforestation. And other good news, too, the new president of Brazil has pledged to decrease deforestation for cattle production and mining, all the stuff that goes down in the Amazon. He's pledging to stop giving out permits for that and to protect that, gorgeous, undiscovered piece of biodiversity that we have in this world. We derive a lot of the medicines that we use today from plants. And this, when we're losing so many at such an alarming rate, and we're not preserving them, even if their ecosystem is failing and we can put them into a conservatory type space, scientists aren't getting the chance to look into the chemical compounds that these plants have that could potentially help cure a disease, create better treatments for diseases. And here are some examples of how that works. Plants have been used for medicine for years. The bark of the willow tree created the drug aspirin. It was originally recommended by ancient Egypt in the Ebers Papyrus. And the active ingredient of aspirin is salicylic acid. And through time and technology, scientists have been able to synthesize this compound. In the 1950s, a natural alkaloid called galantamine was extracted from snowdrop bulbs and is now used to slow the progression of Alzheimer's disease. It mitigates symptoms such as memory loss. It works by slowing the decline in transmissions of chemical messages in the brain. There's also research surrounding the use in HIV treatment. Another is with childhood leukemia. It's treated with a drug derived from the Madagascar periwinkle, a decorative herb native to the island of Madagascar. The indigenous people of the island traditionally use the plant to treat diabetes. And then when Western researchers were investigating its chemical properties in the 1950s, they realized that extracts from the plant contained chemicals with anti-cancer properties. The discovery has given us two closely related drugs, vincristine and vinblastine, which can kill cells that are rapidly dividing, like cancer cells. Synthesis of these chemicals is complex and is still not fully understood by scientists. So since the 1950s, doctors have been relying on crops of the plant itself to treat this these deadly diseases. And it takes about 500 kilograms of dried leaves to produce 1 gram of vinblastine. And that's another part of it, too. If we're not able to synthesize it, it is important to keep in a controlled environment, but also if you're not giving it the same nutrients and conditions that it was used to and its natural habitat, there could be losses of this certain chemical compounds due to lack of certain nutrients and other important nutrients for the plant. My thoughts on this is there is so much we haven't discovered. We always think as space is the last frontier. And even with our oceans, we've seen so much that we have yet to explore, a lot due to technology, just like the limiting of technology here with there are certain plant compounds we can synthesize, but sometimes we just still haven't gotten the right formula to synthesize it, and we need to preserve these plants. And so exactly just like with the Amazon in Brazil, that's a place where the biodiversity we have explored is very minimal compared to what is actually out there. And we obviously won't know what we're missing out on, but it could be a cure to things like cancer or treatments that are going to be less harsh on the body and work with your body instead of against it, because radiation can be very, very hard for people going through it. So I think it's just important to, one, be grateful for the advances in science and technology that we have to be able to synthesize some of these plant compounds, but also to be aware and vigilant that we do what we can to protect these plants that we have yet to even find and know we need to protect them. It's like it's a little too late, or like you don't know what you don't have, but just with the statistics and what we've already found with plants and what they could do for medicine, we know we're going to be missing out on a lot. My little takeaway through this whole thing, and this is all coming up because it's a new year, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Botanic Connections. And thank you guys always for listening. I hope you guys have a great week and you get out into nature. If it's not already snowing, we really haven't gotten much snow out here. So I've been able to be running outside and it is nice, even though it's really cold. Yeah, I hope you guys have a great week and that you go out and enjoy nature sometime this week. You have a great day. Goodbye.